you for downloading this message from Our Father's House.
Pray for what God would have us to hear today. Genesis chapter 29, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. She conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he has therefore given me the son also. And she called his name Simeon. Hearing. Everybody say hearing. Heard. Everybody say heard. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me. Everybody say joined. Because I have borne him three sons, therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name. Everybody say it. Judah. Judah means. And Judah and then she left bearing. Verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 of chapter 30. You realize that the original text had no chapter breaks, right? I mean, it's just this is the way the interpreters and translators, you know, put the chapter breaks in. So this actually just flowed. Amen? You see that oftentimes in the scriptures. In verse 1 of chapter 30, and when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, here's what I'm preach this morning. Give me children or else I die. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your word. God, just use your vessel. Use me, Father, as I speak to your people this morning, and let this word penetrate our hearts. Let it challenge us. Let it change us. Let it transform us. Help us to receive it and to respond to it and let it bear fruit in our lives. We thank you for it and we praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. All right, give me children or I die. There's so many things that we could go into in this particular teaching. When you're talking about Jacob, of course, everybody knows, you know, Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac, and then Isaac had a son named Jacob. Randy, it's important for us to know that God made a promise to Abraham that he was going to bless him and multiply his seed, right? Amen? Are we all together? Everybody say blessing. 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 And not cursing. Amen. Abraham was blessed, and God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a blessed nation. I'm going to bless you. Oh, hallelujah. He said, I'm going to bless your seed. You know, the star seed, God showed him the stars. Let me lay a little foundation here. God showed him the stars and said, I'm going to make your seed as the stars of the heavens, right? He showed him the sand of the seashore. He said, I'm going to make your seed as the sand of the seashore. Do you realize that the sand of the seashore is symbolic of the nation of Israel and the literal Jews? All right? Now, the star seed is symbolic of us, the spiritual Jews. So he said, I'm going to bless you in the natural. Oh, y'all ain't getting this, I can see. And I'm going to bless you in the spiritual. So in other words, you're adopted into Abraham. We are. Oh, glory. Father Abraham had many sons. Who remembers that one from Bible school, from BBS? Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them. Now, some things had to happen before you could become one of them. Oh, glory. Do you understand that some things had to... Wow, man, I feel something stirring in my soul. Some things had to take place before you could become a son of Abraham. But you are the star seed of Abraham. I said, you're the star seed of Abraham. You know, do you understand that that's why the enemy hates you so much? Oh, glory, I could stay here. Do you understand that that's why the enemies of the cross hate Christianity so much? Because we are the star seed. We are part of the inheritance. Oh, glory. This is not my message, but Elder Rice, this is messing me up right. We are part of the covenant. The covenant that God made with Abraham. He said, I'm going to make a covenant with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your people. I'm going to bless your nation. Guess what? Because of the blood of Jesus, which came to fulfill the covenant. We are a part of the covenant of Abraham, and we're grafted into the vine. We're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. You are sons and daughters of Abraham. Go home. Go home and study your Bible and read about the sons of Abraham in the New Testament. Amen? It all goes back. Now, all right, I had to say that to lay some foundation. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. We worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is anybody with me? Anybody with me? It was really supposed to be Esau, but it turned out to be Jacob. Oh, glory. Here we go. Here we go. Now, y'all know the story. Jacob worked for Laban. And he was supposed to get Rachel, right? Okay, but he gets Leah. You understand? He married Leah and still worked for Rachel. Boy, I tell you, that says a mouthful. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying if God gives you, puts something on your heart and you really want to bat enough, you're not going to quit. Depends on what your desire is and what your hunger is. This guy wanted Rachel. Okay? No big deal. Let's go. Let's keep going. I'm not giving up on the promise. I said, I'm not giving up on the promise. Woo! We can't give up on the promises of God. His promises are yes and amen. And just because some little thing comes along that knocks you back, guess what? Get up, dust yourself off, though a man be cast down, he shall not only fall. Hey, come on, is anybody with me? Get up and say, that's all right, I'm going to go on. I may have failed yesterday, but I'm going to go again tomorrow. I'm trying to get to this word. I'll get here in a minute. Here we go. So he marries Leachel. He marries Leachel. Add that one to your list. Along with scorpions. I was preaching one Sunday morning. I was trying to get out serpents and scorpions. I said scorpions. All right, I got to slow down. You're supposed to be down here where you can see me. That way you can slow me down. No. He married Leah. Are y'all with me? Here we go. And they have a son. And you understand that the 12 sons of Jacob is not only a picture of us, it's a picture of the church. The bride and the groom. The church. Is anybody with me in this room? So they have a son. Leah conceived and she bore a son. She called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. Everybody say affliction. Now, how many will agree with your pastor that when we're looking at the church, the first son's name was Reuben, which means affliction. Right? Now, what we could do is, and we probably will do this at a later date. Right now, we're talking about the meaning of these sons as they are born. But actually, at the end in Genesis 49, you go home and read it, God spoke a blessing. We may get to that, just part of it. But God spoke a blessing on all 12 of these, Jacob blessed all 12 of his sons at the end. Right? Are y'all with me? But right now, Reuben means affliction. Everybody say affliction. Now, how many would agree with your pastor that the early church was afflicted? Guess what? All these disciples were crucified. I mean, they were all killed. Peter was what? Crucified what? Come on, say it. Upside down. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos and where he saw the book of Revelation unfold, and they sentenced him to boil in oil. Study it. Study your disciples. They sentenced him to jail to boil in oil. God quenched the fire. Man, there's a supernatural anointing in here. I sense it. And God's going to speak some things to us today, and it's going to change us. But God, they banished him to the Isle of Patmos, and God opened up the heavens and showed him the revelation. And we get the book of Revelation because of that. Amen. So the early church was afflicted. How many believes that the church, even down through the years, there's been times that the church has been afflicted? Out of affliction, man, out of affliction, things are birthed out of affliction. That's why, come on, that's why, come here, Dwayne. That's why in the early church, a lot of our churches, they sang about what they were going through. Amen. The sin of slavery put people in affliction. Come on, is anybody with me in this room? And they sang about, you know, and these songs were birthed. And they were laborsome, thank you, Dwayne. They were laborsome songs. And you know, even us growing up in a traditional Pentecostal church early on, you know, some of the songs that we sang, I'm going to get you somewhere in just a second. Some of the songs that we sang was, you know, like barely making it through affliction. And a lot of these songs were, you got to hear me, a lot of these songs were written by people that came through the Great Depression in the 30s, and affliction and sorrows and things that they endured. And you know what? It was hard for them to write things, you know, they were writing what they were living. Oh, we're spoiled. We have so much and we do so little. These people were trying their best to change a nation, and so, again, a lot of these songs, and some of y'all know them growing up, you know, just barely making it songs. I can't even think of one of them right now. I guess it's a good thing. Coming up, oh, help us, Jesus. I'm not going to let you sing it, though. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. I'm doing my best to make it in. I'm just going to hold on. Listen, you're an overcomer. But a lot of these songs, you know, we go back to, I still can't think of one, but anyway. Y'all get the point. Y'all get the point. It's affliction and a lot of things that God has brought his church through. And the church, is anybody with me? And I'm going to take you somewhere in just a minute. So Reuben means affliction. The early church was afflicted. And as the church grew and revival came, you understand a lot of these churches, the denominations were they were made by man. And we get these denominations down through the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s. And then in just a little bit after 2000, we had a revival in Azusa Street in California. I got to slow down, don't I? I'm about to explode. You had a revival in a warehouse. Little William Seymour is in that warehouse. This black man would put his head in a crate and pray for the glory of God to come because he put his head in that crate because he said he knew if the true glory of God came, he couldn't stand in the presence. And people would drive by and see flames coming out the side of the warehouse, literal, because of the fire of God. And revival hit. Revival hit this nation. And oh, are y'all hearing me? And then all of a sudden, we went into the depression and the church was afflicted. And all of a sudden, instead of singing songs of joy and songs of Zion, they're singing these things about what they're dealing with. Affliction. Everybody say affliction. I'm going somewhere. How many's glad, and I could stay right here, but how many's glad that we came through affliction? How many's glad that the church... Many are the affliction of the righteous, but God shall deliver us out of them all. Yeah, Reuben was born and afflictions come, but God says we don't have to stay there. Reuben wasn't the only son. God didn't stop right there. Amen. Is anybody with me? All right, here we go. I got to hurry. Affliction. Say it one more time. Affliction. Verse 33. And she's conceived again and bore a son. She says, because the Lord has heard that I was hated, he's gave me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Hearing. Everybody say hearing. Say it again. Say hearing. Heard. The Lord heard. The Lord heard the church crying out of affliction. I mean, he's glad the Lord heard the church. I mean, he's glad the Lord still hears the church. You know, the problem is, can I just preach? Come on. You know, the problem is, a lot of times, what we do is, we go through affliction, many other afflictions are right, we go through affliction, but we don't take the proper action, Jamie, and we don't go to the Lord with those afflictions. But can I promise you, I'm going to promise you that if you'll go to God, he's going to hear you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, everybody say my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from the wicked ways, then will I, come on, then will I hear from heaven, I'm going to forgive their sin, and I'm going to heal their life. Because, so how many will give you your pastor? This thing's went full circle. Is anybody with me? But how many agrees with your pastor that if we will go to God, he's going to hear us. You know, let me give you this real quick. Let me give this real quick. You go home and study. Isaiah chapters 37 and 38. Hezekiah, the Assyrians had taken over. They were just running roughshod and taking over cities. And the way they would take over these cities is they would come in and they would stop up their water source. River. They'd stop up their waters. You know what? The enemy wants to stop the flow of the source of the spirit of the water that comes into this place. He wants to stop that because then it dries up and everything dies. He takes hold. Oh, y'all got to get that. Demons walk around through dry places. You want to keep demons out? Keep the river flowing. They don't hang around where the river is. You know what? In fact, I tell them demons can't swim. Because Jesus cast those demons into a herd of swine. The herd ran out, fell off the cliff, got in the sea and drowned. Demons can't swim. They don't like water. Oh, that'll preach. They don't like water. So we look at Hezekiah, the Assyrians. They were ruthless people. Do you realize there's depictions on caves now? You can go over to the Middle East and you go through Caleb. And some of these caves have got pictures of Assyrians holding people's heads in their hands. They were ruthless. They would decapitate people. All they want to do is take over your city. Listen, we're not playing. This ain't fun and games. It's a real deal here. And the enemy wants to take off the head. Oh, glory. Y'all get that in a second. We're not playing games. But then a messenger, real quickly, a messenger was sent out to Hezekiah, you know, from the Assyrians' camp. We're going to come. We're going to take your city. Oh, Lord. What are we going to do? What did he do? He went straight to the house. Is anybody with me? You got to hear me. He laid it out before God. He went, you know what? Here's what I'm trying to preach to you. You got to put your confidence in God. Your confidence cannot be in anything else because everything else is going to fail you. But can I tell you this morning that God has never failed me? He's always come through. I said, he's always come through. Where are you going to put your confidence? You can't put your confidence in the government. You can't put your confidence in anything else because it'll fail. You better put your confidence in God. I've went through some things. I've went through some things. And God's always been there. Is anybody else with me in this house? So if you're in affliction, you better go to God. If you will, he's going to give you another son, and that other son's going to be hearing. He's going to hear you. Somebody say heard. We're trying to get there. Verse 34. She conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined. Everybody say joined. This time, my husband will be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. His name was Levi. Levi means joined to or attached to. I ain't looked at my notes. Leah declared when Levi was born, she said, now my husband will be attached to me. You know what? Listen, Levi speaks, and here's what's going to get us there. And here's what has taken the church. Oh, I wish I could really speak to you what's in my heart. Again, how many believes the church come through years of affliction? Who believes the church got to a place where they called on God and God heard their prayers? Now here comes Levi. Now how many believes all of a sudden we got to a place to where we were joined or attached to the Father? Oh, come on. I want you to get this. It's a place of intimacy. It's unity with God. And listen, you can't have unity with the world. You can't have unity with people in the church until you have unity with God. You get this lined out, and then you can get this lined out. Is anybody with me? Somebody say unity. I'm going to say it and say unity. You know, and when I'm not necessarily, even though it's important, but I'm speaking of not necessarily unity with the body, Pastor Helton, but unity with God. You know what Jesus say? He said, let them be one as we are one. So the world may, that's the message. Why? Why is it important? So the world may believe. You know, I think it was Matt Petrie spoke from this pulpit. One of the preachers during a revival. You know, why is Islam being so effective? They're unified. Oh, I could go on. They believe what they're doing. All things in the church that are lasting and true are born and developed out of a relationship with God and nothing else. I'm going to say that again. All things in the church that are lasting and true are born out of a relationship with God and nothing else. Because if your heart, what are you saying, Pastor? The greatest commandment, love the Lord thy God with all your heart. All your heart, soul, and strength. And the second is love your neighbor like yourself. You're not going to love your neighbor till you love God. Amen. Is anybody with me? Is this good preaching? Amen. We're coming out of affliction. God's going to hear us. Attached. Everybody say attached to. Unified. How many seen that in the church? We're no longer singing the songs of affliction. We've heard a voice that says you're free. And we've become joined to and attached. See, for years, you gotta listen to me. For years, so many people were attached to a church or a denomination. But then we got to this place where we're attached to God and there's relationship. The Father, I don't have time to talk about all of it, but it's the Toronto revival, the Father's blessing. Brownsville, people experienced the love of God. They experienced the love of God they never had experienced before. Oh God, give us a baptism of love in our Father's house. Give us a baptism of love in our Father's house where people just come in here and they feel the love of God. And no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're dealing with, they're loved. They know they're loved by God. They know they're loved by people. Yes. Yes, sir. Amen. All right, here we go. I'm trying to teach you something here. Somebody say amen. When the blessing was given to Levi was God's inheritance. God wants us to be attached to him so we can be his inheritance. Amen? Somebody say amen. You're going to have no inheritance until you're attached to God. That's where true life is found. Now, we get all the way up to here. Okay, affliction, we come through affliction, we come through, we've heard the voice of God, and we've got intimacy with God. Do y'all understand what I'm preaching to you? I don't know, some of you young people, listen to me, young people. I'm trying to go. But growing up, we weren't taught this kind of intimacy with God. We just wouldn't. You know, we just wouldn't. So you're living in a great time. Amen. Now, here we go. Where's my musicians? Come on up, please. Daniel Mann. Daniel Mann is the piano man. I'm having a good time up here. Can y'all tell? Hallelujah. We're preaching about leech on everything. You know, it may be a word from the Lord. We need to get those two combined and we'll get some word. Everything that Leah brought forth and everything that Rachel brought forth. You know, just let the church be leech. That'll preach. That's your title of the message, leech. Daniel's going to put it on the podcast. Let the church be legal. He sends me a text a lot oftentimes. What do you want to call this message? I'm like, I don't know. All right, here we go. Are y'all ready? She conceived again and bare a son. She said, now, everybody say now. Now when I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Judah means praise. Amen. And remembers in Judges where it says, who shall we send up first? Okay, we're going to go to battle, Lord. Who's going to go up first? God says, send Judah up first. That just messes with the devil's head. Wait a minute, Pastor. I don't have my victory yet. Go ahead and praise him anyway. That just messes the devil up because you're praising God before you got there. I know where I'm going. I'm just going to go ahead and praise God before we get there. It's kind of like rejoicing when you're going on vacation. You haven't got there yet, but man, you're having a blast in the process. Is anybody with me? Amen. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God, and we're going somewhere. Let's praise God in advance. All right, how about this? When the enemies come against Jehoshaphat, and he was surrounded on every side. Somebody say every side. All the ites came against him. The Ammonites and Jebusites, and you can read every one of those ites came against him. I don't know what you're thinking. Termites. Jehoshaphat, the Spirit of the Lord moved. Who knows, we need a prophet. We need to hear the Spirit of the Lord. He says, put your singers out front. He said, let them sing praises unto me. He said, it's important. This is not a rock concert. Oh. Music's come a long way, folks. I don't know if y'all are getting this or not, but this is a picture of the church. It's where we are. We came through affliction. We heard the voice of the Lord. We got into a place of intimacy. Now we have worship. We have praise. Listen, growing up, we didn't have praise. We didn't have a praise and worship team. Where's Randy Lindsay? Listen, I got saved in June 16th, 1981. Randy Lindsay got saved 5 days before I did. He got saved at Pine Mountain State Park. They had a week-long meeting up there at the, what do they call that place? It's where they do the weddings. Amphitheater. Used to do the Book of Job. You're going to show your age now. How many reads the Book of Job? We got a few. I used to do the Book of Job up there. I remember as a kid, I'd drive by and see those signs, and I thought, Book of Job. What's the Book of Job? But anyway, Tommy Bates. Somebody remembers Tommy Bates? Gosh, if he heard me say that, he'd say, remembers Tommy Bates? No. He came into this country in the early 80s. Amen. A lot of you people know me, pastor of the church in Independence, Kentucky. And he came and did a service up at Amphitheater. On a Thursday, Randy Lindsay got saved. Right? I know more than you do. You're just sitting up there. I was under conviction. I was coming to church every week. Just to know, I was coming to Sunday school. I'd go to Sunday school and youth group. That's all I'd do. I wouldn't touch church. I've been coming since Easter, and people were, it's an odd thing now, but I remember this girl sitting right here. This girl was sitting right here at the time. We had no idea she was going to be my wife. She calls me and asked me to come. She was in the youth group. She said, won't you come? I didn't go. Randy got saved the following Tuesday. After youth group, I got saved. So within 5 days, you know, Randy and I, we took on, you know, Randy took on guitar and I took on drums. Never played drums before in my life. I know what to do. I just want to do something. You know what? You need to find out. God wants you to do something. I knew I couldn't just sit. So I went to the music store and I said, I want that set of drums. And I got them down and I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be a drummer. For years, I played drums in church. Well, the first year, I banged the drums. They endured me. Tammy, you're there. We go way back. You know, we used to, and I just wanted to do something for the Lord. And so I took up drumming, and I drummed in church for a long time. I tell them now, I used to be a musician. Now I'm a decrepit that has been. But you know what? As a result of that, my son took up drumming. You know, we got drums at home, and he's a fantastic drummer. I thank God for him. And but I'm trying to get to a point. Randy and I, we were music crazy. And we went to every concert coming and going. We were kids, you know. I was 19 years old. Randy was, what, 16? You know, and we were aspiring musicians. Randy, he still plays. He made it. God gave me a dream when I started preaching. God gave me a dream. I got to hurry up. God gave me a dream. In this dream, I was still drumming in church. You know, I drummed in church for years. Even drummed a lot after I first started pastoring. You know, and I drummed some here. You know, I used to be second string here. But now, you know, we got second string. We got third string, fourth. Y'all ain't hearing me. We got a lot of drummers here. We got a lot of keyboard players, and we got a lot of bass players. We got more guitar players. We got a lot of singers. I'm not leaving you out, pal. There's people putting ads in. Come on. We're so spoiled. There's people putting ads in newspapers to get music, get to pay somebody to come to the church and play the piano. Daniel can't be here. It's all right. We got Tyler. He'll fill in. He'll fill that seat. Brian can't be here. Jacob will fill that seat. Is anybody with me? We got to get to the place where we just say, well, it don't really matter who's up there playing and singing, but just as long as God shows up. Amen? And you know what? I thank God for our band. We got an excellent band, and I thank God for them. But you know what? Listen to me, guys. Just from your pastor, it don't have to be perfect. As long as the anointing is here. I said, as long as the anointing is here, guess what? We'll get out of washboard. Thank God for what we have. We don't have to have all this to have church. And I'm not trying to minimize. I'm so thankful for these guys and what they do, and we're so blessed. But listen, here's the bottom line. We need the Spirit and the anointing of God to show up. Amen. If we don't sing a song or play an instrument. Hey, I promise you they didn't have this at Azusa Street. And I promise you Brother Wesley didn't have this in the 1700s, when John took the platform to preach, and his brother, hear me out, Charles was a songwriter, right? Amazing, he wrote that to, "And Can It Be?" Oh, Jesus. I promise you, when they stepped up, the anointing came, the fire of God came in that place. Is anybody with me? All right, here we go. I'm trying to hurry. Here's my point. We didn't have praise and worship music in the church. We didn't have praise and worship. You know, young people, our contemporary Christian bands, they didn't do praise and worship music. Randy and I grew up on people like Petra. Was Petra. You ever heard of Petra? Whiteheart. Listen, we saw Michael W. Smith like 3 or 4 times before he ever sung a worship song. Randy, am I telling the truth? If there was a concert that came to Knoxville, Lexington, sometimes Louisville, we're there, man. We jump in that Trans Am of mine and we're gone. We went everywhere. But the point I'm trying to make is, yeah, we went and heard good Christian music with a positive. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Don't take that out of here and say, well, pastor's saying if it don't have worship in it, it's not of God. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is people didn't do this. Judah wasn't born. People didn't do this. People just got up and sang songs and played music and did good concerts. You know, Amy Grant, we saw her and all those. Michael W. Smith, we saw Michael W. Smith opened up for Amy Grant. Who was Amy Grant? Great singer. Michael W. Smith, he knew what Michael W. Smith, he just come out and did a concert. He did a show. He never opened his mouth. I even heard him say one time, "I'm not a preacher, I'm just here to play music." And they just played and they just rocked the house and we loved it. You know, we was just kids and we wanted to be musicians and we thought it was the most awesome thing in the world. Then all of a sudden, Michael W. Smith comes out with a worship album because now Judah's showing up in the church and praise and worship is sweeping the church of Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, now here's the neat thing, y'all get to hear good music. But not only that, you get to hear music that worships and glorifies God and lifts him up in the process. Is anybody with me in here? Judah means praise. Come on, can somebody give him praise right now? Judah means praise. Judah means praise. I want to praise him. You know what that says? That says I'm going to praise him in the midnight hour. I may not feel good right now, but I'm going to praise Him anyway. Buzzkill. I got to preach you the word, okay? Can you sit down for me? Just 2-3 more minutes. I'm going to let you go. I said all that to say this. How many thankful for what we have? How many understands what your pastor's telling you that praise and worship just came into the church? Those of you who've been in church a long time, young people, you're so blessed. We tell our kids all the time. We tell Jacob, man, you never made it. Because they're so excited about what we do today. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't want to go back. I don't. I like it here. It's not what I'm suggesting. But you know what? I'd like to say, after that right there, I'd like to say, let's stand. And we'll be dismissed. And we'll go out of here on a high note. Is that a high note? You ain't right, pal. But how many wants me to finish the word? Still love you. Was it an accident? All right, it's okay, man. Even if it wasn't, it's okay. The church has stopped at Judah. We got to Judah. And then we felt like we have arrived because of praise and worship. And don't get me wrong, there's power in praise. And I'm thankful for our worship leader. And don't you ever think that your pastor's not, I'm behind you. And there's power in your praise. There's power in your praise. But that praise, Judah came for a reason. God didn't say send Judah up first just so you can feel good. Now, one more verse, and I'm going to try. And I know I could have left you on a high note, but I can't. Verse 1 of chapter 30, and Rachel saw that she had bare Jacob no children. She gave it her sister, and she said, give me children or I die. Now, here's the deal. Sure, we've come through some affliction, the church of Jesus Christ. God's heard us, and we have intimacy with God. People have relationships with God that are awesome. And a lot of you in this room. And we have praise. We have Judah. We have praise and worship. But where's the children? Rachel said, give me children or I die. So she knew that what was birthed through Leah and those first four sons was not enough to carry on what God's plan was. So if we stop at praise and all of our focus is on praise and worship and all of our focus is on music and all of our focus is on singing and what that can do for us, we will miss the plan of God and we will not fulfill the vision that God has for this reason, because we won't bring forth children. When Zion has travailed, she brings forth sons and daughters come forth. In closing, I don't have time. We'll talk more about this later. But do you understand that Rachel started bearing children? And the last, how many remember the last child that Rachel had? Benjamin. And she's, what she, I think I've got it here. We'll close with this, I promise. That's all I have time for. I'm talking about bringing something forth. Here's the deal. Turn over real quickly, and I promise we're done. Genesis 35. We've got to bring forth some children. Amen? How many knows we need to see some people saved? We need to make sons and daughters. Amen? We can't get caught up in this thing where it's just all about us dancing. And again, I like to dance with the best of you. I mean, and we did that earlier, and it's awesome. But we've got to see some people saved. We got loved ones that are going to a devil's hell. We got family members that are lost. We got people sitting right in our church that probably hasn't yet made a full surrender to God. And we're dancing all around them, and they're not getting saved. All right, here we go. We're going to close. Genesis 35, verse 16. Look what it says. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was, or Bethel, and there was a little way come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said unto her, fear not, you're going to have this son. And it came to pass, as her soul was departing, she died. Everybody say she died. As she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Wow. We got all the way to here. Are y'all with me? You understand, and I don't have time to go into all of it. I don't have time to go into Benoni and son, and what it means, his name was called Benjamin. Amen. And it's a picture of Christ. You got to see this. You got to see this. She died in the process of giving birth to something that was a picture of Christ. That was the last son. Are y'all getting this? So I'm just going to read you what God gave me, and we're going to close. I'm going to read it because I don't want to miss it. You know, you understand what we're going through can birth something. Sometimes it's by God designed to birth something. Oh, bless God, the devil's just killing me. No, maybe sometimes God's just trying to bring something out in you. You know, she named him son of sorrow, son of pain. And what Isaiah 53:5 said, he was rejected, despised, and rejected. Do y'all see that? All right, here we go. Here's what, I wish I had more time. Rachel died in giving birth. In order for God to birth what he wants to birth, this will be the end of the church as we know it. We have yet to see what God wants to do. Change is coming, and we must have enough discernment to see it and hear it and become a part of it, or we will not survive. This is in no means to degrade what the church has already done in the past, because there's been effectiveness, or we wouldn't be here today. But Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. Benjamin was the last born to Israel. The same is going to happen in order for the last days ministries to be born. Sure, we want to praise, but we also need to be willing to die. Let this flesh die. In order for the last day's ministries to be fulfilled, we're going to have to be willing to die. Rachel was a picture of the church. Is anybody with me? All right, I'm trying to finish. I'm trying to hurry. You know, we think of the Laodicean church. It was the last of the seven churches. Everybody say last. It was the last one he addressed in the book of Revelation, which I also believe represents the last day church. And in closing, Elder Rice, we often think about that they were lukewarm. And God said, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. He said, you say you're increased with good, you're blind, poor, naked. You left your first love. But right here's what he said, Danny. He said, please don't miss what I'm going to tell you. He was still speaking to the Laodicean church. And he said, behold, I stand at the door He said, to him that opens, I'm going to come in and I'm going to drink with him. And he said, and you're going to be overcomers. So we ought to miss it. No, listen. Stand at the door and knock. Stop talking about sinners. That wasn't to the sinner. Come on now. If that messes with your religious way of thinking, I'm sorry. Just go deal with it. But you know. You know, sure he's drawing the sinners. But he was speaking to the church. And we're in a place and time that we have so much and we're so blessed. But can you get this picture that Jesus is standing at the door knocking and saying, how about letting me in? Because when you let me in, you're going to change and you're going to start loving people and you're going to start making sons and daughters. Because guess what? I came to save the lost. That was my heart's desire. That's the great commission to the church. Go ye therefore into the world, teaching all nations, making disciples of men. Are y'all with me? He's knocking and he wants in. Amen. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Come on, can you just from your heart just thank him for his word? Come on, thank him for his word. Father, we realize the church has seen affliction. Our forefathers came through great affliction, and they penned songs about it. There's songs in this red hymnal that were written out of an afflicted people. God, thank you that we've had some people that heard your voice and we've become attached to you and joined to you in intimacy. And thank you that we can now sing songs of praise. You ought to be thankful that you can sing songs of praise. Thank you that you've blessed your church that we can sing songs of praise. But Father, help us not to forget that we need to have children or we die. If we don't have children, we die.
For more information about Our Father's House or upcoming events, please log on to www.ourfathershouseky.com.